Conklin. We're joined by James Herbert from CBS Sports. James, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for taking the time. I'm really looking forward to this game tonight. Tip-off gets going 6 o'clock Edmonton time between the Cavaliers and the Warriors. James, these two teams met on Christmas. Did we learn anything on Christmas Day between those two teams?
Yeah, I think we learned that the Warriors haven't quite solved the Cavaliers' problem. It looked like in the fourth quarter going down the stretch in that game, the Warriors are going to get off to another win over the Cavs in the regular season and kind of erase, not fully erase, but kind of get a little bit of an edge back after losing the last three games of the finals the way that they did. But the way that Golden State lost that game and surrendering a late lead and having costly turnovers, just the offense sort of falling apart at big moments, that was reminiscent of some of what happened in the finals last season. So I think they really wanted to get beyond that. They wanted to change the story. But instead, after the game, everybody's talking about, oh, they have this four-game losing streak against the Cavaliers now. And I think just talking about that simplifies it a little bit because a lot of those games were really close. They lost on Christmas by 1 point. But I do think there's at least a talking point surrounding this game that the Cavs might have a mental edge because of what Golden State has done in crunch time recently against this Cleveland team.
About 10 days ago, the Cavaliers went out and they acquired three-point shooting Kyle Korver. Besides the three-pointer, what does Korver add to the Cavaliers?
Yeah, I think he's much more than just a shooter. I mean, that's obviously the first thing that comes to mind when you think about him. He's one of the best shooters in NBA history. But what we've seen with him in with the Hawks the last few years is they've used him as sort of a playmaker, too. He's shown that he's a quality defender. Obviously, his main job with Cleveland is to stretch the floor, but they can run different stuff for him coming around screens. They can use him sort of like when LeBron played with Ray Allen, and they used Allen as a decoy in Miami on so many possessions, just opened up the floor for everybody else. Korver's a really smart passer as well. He's a high IQ guy. You don't think of him as a lockdown defender. But, you know, I get why the Hawks got rid of him because they're not contending for anything anytime soon. They were probably going to lose him in free agency. But I think for what Cleveland gave up, which was Mike Dunleavy, who wasn't in the rotation, and then a future first-round pick, I think that was a great addition. And he'll help, obviously, with J.R. Smith out of the lineup. He helps as a shooting guard. But I just think he's such a smart player, and he fits in so well with what the Cavaliers do overall.
We're joined by James Herbert from CBS Sports, taking a look at all things in the NBA. The Cavaliers take on the Golden State Warriors tonight. Raptors back in action tomorrow when they face the Brooklyn Nets. One more about the Warriors and Cavs, then we'll move on. Your opinion, James, which coach has gotten more out of their roster? Has it been Steve Kerr or Tyronn Lue?
That's a really good question. I think both teams have played really well this season. I want to give more credit to Kerr, though, because I look at this sort of bigger picture. Yeah, this year, specifically, if you're just talking about this iteration with Kevin Durant, they're totally stacked. They have four all-stars. They have the guys who have won MVP the last 3 years. And no matter what the Warriors do, if they even lose one or two games, nobody's really going to be that impressed with what they're doing. But if you look at the culture that Steve Kerr has created there over the past few years, it's really incredible. I think the reason why they were able to go out and sign a guy like Durant is that he saw a culture that he wanted to join. He saw a style of play that impressed him, and he wanted to play with those guys and play that way where he doesn't have to do everything, and they all share the ball, and they all get along, and they play with such joy. So when I look at the bigger picture of how the Warriors play and what they've been able to accomplish over the past few years, it's just such a different environment than before Steve Kerr showed up. He completely redefined how they play offensively, and he was able to sustain the defensive effort that you saw from them when Mark Jackson was their head coach. So I think Tyronn Lue obviously came in and did a great job last season, but I think overall I'm just super impressed with how Kerr has changed that organization in Golden State.
If you put the Cavs and Warriors one and two, it doesn't matter who's one and who's two, who would you put number three and why?
I put the San Antonio Spurs in third place, and it's funny because they get absolutely no buzz right now, and I don't think they have gotten a lot of attention this year, and I think the Spurs are totally fine with that. They sort of shun the media attention even when they're getting it regardless, but they've been amazing this season, and I've been really impressed with how they've been able to sustain it defensively because I thought, they lose Tim Duncan, a lot of their identity has to change, right? I mean, even when he was 39, 40 years old, he was still at that age one of the best defensive players in the NBA, and I wasn't sure with a front court of LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol, as good as they are offensively, I wasn't sure it was going to be able to keep up. But they're just so smart defensively. They don't beat themselves. They don't make mistakes. Kawhi Leonard is an absolute monster, an MVP candidate this season, even though he won't win it, just like the Spurs won't get the best record in the league. But he's right up there, and I think they're right up there as well.
James Herbert from CBS Sports joins us. I want to take a look at the Eastern Conference, especially the Toronto Raptors, where we're here in Canada. They've just quietly gone about their business. They've won three straight games. Yeah. They took care of business against the New York Knicks over the weekend. They get Brooklyn tomorrow, and really just kind of business as usual for the Raptors so far, hasn't it been?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the New York win, they're supposed to win, but I don't think you take for granted that they build a 30-plus point lead in that game and just absolutely take care of business, as you said, on their home court. But I do think the Boston win that they had a few days ago was kind of a statement game for Toronto, because it had been a little while since the Raptors had beaten a team on their level. And that's not even a criticism. I think what the Raptors have done this season has been extremely consistent and beat the teams they should be. And that is what great teams do. But I thought the Celtics win was big because at the time Boston was only a game behind them in the standings. A lot of people were talking about, could the Celtics team actually be the second best team in the East? And the way the Raptors just dominated that game down the stretch, where DeRozan took over and Valanciunas just could not be kept off the glass by Boston, a poor rebounding team, I thought that said a lot about where the Raptors are and their competitiveness and just how hard they are to beat at home.
Have the Raptors done enough? We're joined by James Herbert from CBS Sports. James, have the Raptors done enough to get past six games of the Cleveland Cavaliers, or is this still looking like probably a date with the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Final and then a pat on the back?
Yeah, I mean, that's the likely scenario, right? They're in such a strange spot because anything short of that is going to be seen as a complete failure. Like, if they don't get to the conference finals again, then everybody's going to say, well, why didn't they make a trade at the deadline? Why didn't they get there? This is a disappointment after last season and after how they played in the regular season. At the same time, once they're there, that is like all that's expected. Nobody thinks they can possibly get farther. I mean, obviously, if they get lucky, if Cleveland suffers an injury, you never know what might happen. But I think they're just sort of in this weird in-between place where they're obviously a great team, but they're also obviously a team that wants to make a move and wants to make an upgrade, but you just don't know if there's a guy out there that realistically get to bridge that gap with the Cavaliers. Because it looks like it's sort of the same as last season, right? Like, the Raptors can compete with them for sure, but I don't know anybody who's going to take them in a seven-game series. You even expect them to push it to seven against Cleveland.
One team that, to me, has become must-see television just because one of their stars is the Milwaukee Bucks. They lead the Sixers 54-46 so far at the half. Giannis, the Greek freak, is he one of the most exciting players in the game to watch right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I'm watching pretty much every Bucks game. I have that game on right now. I'm working on a bigger story about Giannis. I think he's just captivating. And that's one of those players, when he comes into the league and you see just his dimensions and some of the special things he does in the court. He was making highlight plays as a rookie, but he wasn't consistent enough. He didn't have as well-rounded a game. He had to fill out his body. And you sort of saw this in him at first, but you didn't know if he'd ever quite get there or how long it would take. I think the stuff that he's doing now at just 22 years old, I mean, he's playing like a franchise player. I think he's going to start in the All-Star game this year. He'll make the All-NBA team, and he's all in, barring some sort of collapse, he's going to lead this team to the playoffs. And I'm just incredibly impressed with what he's doing. It's not just the put-back dunks and the chase-down blocks. He's playing point guard at 6'11 for this team and making high-level reads. He's such a smart player. He has such a high basketball IQ. And for a guy this young, that has the physical tools that he has, it's impossible to stop.
James, one more team I want to get your thoughts on is OKC. We all know Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors this offseason. They left Westbrook there by himself. They have, I believe, 25 wins, fighting for one of those mid-tier spots in the NBA's Western Conference. But Westbrook is averaging just under 31 points a game, still averaging a triple-double. Can we just engrave his name on the MVP trophy right now and give it to him now?
I think it's still a race, because I think his former teammate, James Harden, he's not averaging a triple-double, but his stats are comparable, and he's been a lot more efficient than Westbrook has, and the Rockets have a better record. So to me, they're still a race. But I do think a lot of people We'll just pencil Westbrook in. Like you said, a lot of people are just going to say, well, he's averaging a triple-double. This hasn't been done since Oscar Robertson did it. And I'd even argue that it's more impressive than the stats Oscar Robertson put up, because you look at the possessions per game, and there were like 25 more possessions that Oscar Robertson's team had back then, because that's just what the NBA was. It was a much faster-paced game, so you had more opportunities to put up those stats. So if you look at it on a per-possession basis, Westbrook is doing something that's literally never been done before in the NBA. He's had an incredible season. I think he's also not just straight hunting stats every night. I think he's helping his teammates get better, and you can see it from the beginning of the year to now. You've seen Steven Adams make significant progress as an offensive player. You've seen Enes Kanter make progress as a passer, and I think you've seen the Thunder grow as a team too.
We talk a lot about super teams in the NBA, James. Could you imagine if OKC was able to hang on to Harden, Westbrook, Durant? Like, that team would almost be unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, they made it to the finals, and I was one of the people that just assumed that that would be for a year. And things sort of went wrong along the way, starting with injuries and then just the financial situation. The ownership decided that they couldn't keep Harden. But yeah, believe me, that's one of my favorite teams.
My question was so good, it absolutely stunned him. That's going to be it for James Herbert, as we're out of time. Anyways, James Herbert from CBS Sports previewing a busy night in the NBA tonight.